The cross has the final word. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to those that perish, what? Foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And that word is, they couldn't find a better word than going to the Greek, and that word is dynamite. It is the dynamite of God. And when God throws it into our lives, it, boom, it changes everything. It is the dynamite of God. Focus. What is our focus? Our focus is on heaven, should be on heaven. And from this passage, our focus of our eyes should be on Jesus and on our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. There were two fellas who, as the story goes, they set up a ranch. And everything was going great on the ranch. It was a cattle ranch. And so as they established this ranch, the only thing that they couldn't decide together on was the name of the ranch. And so after being frustrated, they finally called on their mother and asked their mother, "So what should we call our ranch?" And she said, "Oh, that's easy. Call it Focus Ranch." And they said, "What? Where did you get that from?" "Well," she said, "it's where the sons raise meat. Where the sons raise meat." And our focus should be on where the Son of God, his focus is on, and where they meet. And we trust that the focus of the Lord Jesus Christ will be right here, and they will meet here. And so as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, we want to focus on what he was teaching from the Mount of Transfiguration, or from that place in Israel. There's a song that goes like this: "Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrow into joy." We are to give all we do to Jesus. We are to give every day to Jesus. We are to give what we see and all we see to Jesus. We are to give all we have to Jesus. And we are to give it all we got for Jesus. And we're to leave everything on the table, right? I don't know if you know that kind of a sports term. They left it all on the court, or they left it all on the table. Turn with me, if you will, first of all, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, declares the Lord." What a great plan God has. And he was giving, he gave these words to the prophet Jeremiah, even though the children of Israel, the remnant, were going into captivity. He was saying, "I have a plan for you. I have a plan to carry out for you. And when you come to me with all your heart, I will hear you, and I will listen to you when you pray to me. When you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart." And the heart of our message today is the Lord Jesus Christ. is heaven. So give it all to Jesus. And we are to serve him with all our heart. We are to surrender our will to him. We are to come and serve him with all our heart. And one of the Psalms says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his presence with praise. And so that's what we want to do today. And let's just pray. Lord, I pray that as we come to you and before you, as we have sung, Lord, we want to lay our hearts bare before you and be waiting and watching and working and witnessing and watching for your return, because we believe that your return is imminent and could happen. And so, Lord, we ask, God, that we would be the generation that is ready for your arrival. So, Lord, bless us as we are in your presence today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Since each of us were kids, we had the privilege of handling money. You may have been like myself, who had raised a 4-H calf. And so we had that responsibility, and along with that came some money. Money is just part of life. Some have more, others less. But all of us need to be good managers of what we have. So let's look into the Bible and gain God's perspective on this topic. A funeral happened, and one man asked another, so how much money did your friend leave behind? A little surprised. The man replied, well, he left it all. He didn't take any with him. Is that a surprise? No, not really, is it? In Psalm 24 and verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's, everything in it, and all that we have in it. So all the property, all the produce, and all the people are under the Lord. They may not all desire to be under him, but we are anyway. And so that's what Psalm 24 and 1 says. You remember the story of Job. Job was a righteous man, and because he was a righteous man, Satan wanted to get at him. And we know that Job was the richest man in all the East. He had 7,000 sheep, he had 2,000 camels, he had 1,000 oxen. I don't know how he had 1,000 oxen, because it doesn't say he had any cows. How did he have 1,000 oxen? Like, those are like your tractors, right? Well, he had 1,000 oxen. I guess he just didn't count the calves and cows. And then he had 500 donkeys. Yeah, I have one at home myself. I am one at home myself. Anyway, he must have had a lot of land, and he had a big family. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters, and the Bible says that his 3 daughters were the most beautiful girls in all the land. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. And when Satan went after him to ruin him, this is what Job said. When Satan attempted to ruin him, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Job got it right. Job's total dependence was on God, even though he was a wealthy man. He put his trust in the living God. Money, even though it's neutral and temporal, however, it can have a great influence on us and on others. And Moses warned about money and wealth and what it would do to the children of Israel when they went into the promised land. Now remember, he's speaking to them out in the desert. That's amazing, isn't it? He's speaking, and he doesn't even have the land that he can see before him. Yes, prosperity can take the edge off our spiritual experience and walk with God and with the Lord Jesus. So we have to be careful. But wealth can also be given and useful for the glory of God. And it can have a great effect in the world. People, Paul said to Timothy, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap. It may be the devil's trap. And into many foolish and harmful desires that plague men, into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root, not the root. It's a big difference. It's a root. It can open up all kinds of roots of evil, but it's not the root of evil. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, said from a Wall Street Journal, an anonymous guy wrote it. He said, money, the article of money, which may be used and can be used as a passport to everywhere except heaven. And it can be a universal provider of everything except happiness. Warren Wiersbe also added this. The writer might have added that money is also a provider of covetousness, which is idolatry, and competition, which divides us. We can be competitive because somebody has more than we have. So money can create covetousness and competitiveness. It can be a wonderful servant, but is a terrible master. Our Lord had a great deal to say about material wealth, a lot in the New Testament and in the Old Testament is on wealth. He ministered to people who, for the most part, were often slaves or poor, and who thought, like all of us or many of us do today, that acquiring more wealth would seem to be a solution to every problem. Is that true? No, it's not. But it would seem to be true. So let's go back to our passage that we really are looking at today. It's Matthew chapter 19. Six and 19 through 24. Better get the numbers in the right order here. Matthew chapter 6 and 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. And one translation also includes worms, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What occupies us sometimes just captures our heart. And I gotta confess, I have a rental house right now, and it's a pain. It really is a pain. It got some moisture in the basement, so I ripped out the walls and found the causes of it. And then I thought I had them fixed. And you know when it got really warm, just last week, I found about that much water in my inside of my basement. And I was not very pleased. This crazy house is capturing the focus of my eye and my mind. And you probably have things like that and you would like to be done with them. Anyway, it says the eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will devote to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. That's, just five little verses here. But in the first two or three verses, there are three words that the Lord Jesus uses in concern with wealth. Three times Jesus refers to the word treasure. It is the Greek word for thesaurus. It simply means to make a deposit. You ever go to the bank, make a deposit? That's the word. It's where you deposit your wealth. Literally and figuratively, treasure is a deposit of wealth somewhere. There are three reasons Jesus gives why we should not make our deposit on earth. And we can make huge deposits. I'm sure Bill Gates could, I don't know how he would deposit that river of water, of money that runs into some place in the billions of dollars, but it's still on earth. And Jesus said, don't make your deposits on earth because there are things that eat it up. Moths can destroy the invested in beautiful cloth and stored it away and then found out that the moths got in and ate it up. Or they might invest in precious gold or metals and found that rust and corruption got rid of their wealth in that way. It devaluates. And then thieves can break in and steal like never before, right? Like when was the world so vulnerable? We can deposit, secure deposits in the bank that these guys are able to go in with their computers and remove all our wealth. I remember I have a son-in-law who's a techie, and Judy and I once in a while play the game of text twist. And at one time, Judy was way ahead of me in the millions of points, and I was on Vancouver Island with my son-in-law, and he said, let me hack into your computer, and then I can put a big number on your text twist account, and your wife will be so surprised that you are so smart. So we did that. He did that from Vancouver Island, and I didn't know that that could happen. Well, it's happening. Anyway, I can never remember when life savings were so vulnerable. But Jesus said, don't invest here. Invest in heaven. Don't deposit your wealth here. where moth and rust and all those kinds of things can devaluate it. So how then do we invest in heaven? As a member of God's family, we must first of all trust in Jesus Christ. If we are not a member of God's family, we can't invest. We are not investors in heaven. That's pretty serious, isn't it? We can't invest. We're not one of God's children. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. And if you're an Awana kid, I'm sure you know that verse. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Just turn with me, if you will. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you are saved by faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast. But then there's a very interesting verse that follows, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us. Did you know that God fashions and makes us, gifts us so that he can give us work that he's already prepared for us to do? You may be prepared by God to be a good teacher or a nurse. Or there's some wonderful people that can actually fix cars. And they know how, and they can visualize how to go ahead and fix that car, the one that is broken, and you have no idea what makes it tick. God gifts people, and then he prepares work for them to do. Wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? We're not saved by good works. Our good works can't get us into heaven, but when we're saved, and we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then he gives us works to do for him. That's awesome, isn't it? And he knows where you're going to fit in the best, because he created you. Of course he knows, right? And some people seem to have so much talent in so many areas. But God, if we use what he has given us for himself, then he will, in a day in heaven, if we use and listen to him and obey him, and we stand before him, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not in salvation. That's a review of how we've used our life for him. And if we're standing before him and we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Won't that be awesome? Think of it. I'm 80. Some reach 90. Others even a little bit older. My sister's mother-in-law reached 108. Pretty awesome. She could still beat everybody in Scrabble at 100. Well, anyway, I lost my train of thought. We are given the talents to invest. So we want to invest securely, right? You don't want to invest in something that is so high risk that you lose it all. And so Jesus said, yeah, there is a place called heaven, and you can invest in it, in that place, by volunteering, maybe at Awana, or teaching Sunday school, or helping your neighbor and doing these acts of good works for the Lord Jesus. And in all kinds of ways, we can be used for God. Well, there was a couple. They were slaves. They were slaves in the land of Egypt. They had no wealth. And the Pharaoh said, you know, all the baby boys are to be thrown into the Nile River. And this couple, when they had their baby boy, they looked on that baby boy and said, this is a beautiful child. This is a beautiful, beautiful boy. And we're not afraid of what the Pharaoh was saying. And so they followed out his commandments. They created a little ark, and they laid their beautiful boy in that little ark when they could no longer keep him from crying. And they let the little ark go down that big river, the Nile River. And then they sent their older daughter, Miriam, just alongside. But they had a plan, and they were listening to the voice of God. And God told them to do that, and they sent their little boy down the river. And guess who came to bathe that day? The princess of Egypt. She didn't have any children. And when she saw the little basket, she thought, ah! And she wanted to find out what was in the basket and found out there was a little baby, and God pinched him, and he was crying. And that captured the heart of the princess in Egypt. But one day, that little boy, after he had been taken care of by his nurse mother, and Moses nursed at her breast and was taught who he really was. And she had to leave him maybe at the age of 4 or 5 to be raised in the palace. But Moses, that little boy, already knew that he wasn't a prince of Egypt. You see, as a prince of Egypt, he would have been Pharaoh. He was next in line. But he knew he was not a prince of Egypt. But Israel means prince of God. And he had a higher calling. And we read in Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, where it tells us something of what happened somewhere along the line. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid. We're in a world where a lot of people are afraid, but we don't have to be afraid. They were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, when he had come to maturity, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, I'm a Hebrew. I'm a prince of God. And he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. Rather, actually, the Bible says that he treasured, that word treasure, deposit. He had made a deposit in heaven. He knew he was a prince of God, and he was not afraid of the king. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered because he saw God who was invisible. Wow. As parents, do we have that vision for our kids or our neighbors or our friends or those that are across the sea? Are we investing out of country, in other people, because the Bible says, the Bible tells us that what shall it profit a man? You're a mathematician. We have mathematicians here. What will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? That's his life. It's not his soul in going to into judgment. What if we waste our life? God has given us a life to invest. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can you give in exchange for your life once it's gone? We have a chance to invest. Secure investment in heaven. Right? Is it important to, for some people, their investment is because God has gifted them in actually making money and investing that. And we have people that have invested well in missions, in other ways. We have a chance to have a secure investment. And so let's flip back to this passage in Matthew's gospel. Don't store up on earth in a place where that investment can be destroyed. But store up for yourself. Put your deposits in heaven, right? Serve the Lord when you have a chance. We miss so many opportunities. I miss so many opportunities to invest in heaven. And then it says, be careful what you invest in your eyes. You have been given a pair of eyes. And when our eyes are the lamp of the body, then they will shine with the light and can shine with the light of heaven. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, I believe it is, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. We won't walk in darkness when we follow Jesus, the light. And when he is our light, then he is going to shine through us. When I was in India, there was a Mr. Pertoli. And he sat on the floor, and he ministered to Marathi-speaking people in his tabla. And when he smiled, it was like the sun came out. His face shone with heaven. The eye of the lamp is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if we use our eyes in the wrong way, we can be looking at wrong stuff, and we can be doing wrong stuff with our eyes, and it becomes darkness. Our eyes are darkness. We don't want to invest in that way, in our eyesight. Study God's word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. This is one verse, right? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, Ephesians 2:10, that need not be ashamed. When we stand before God, we won't be ashamed. I'm often ashamed because I haven't opened my mouth, or I've been ashamed of Jesus. I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So we don't want to be ashamed, but we want to be those that are ambassadors for Christ. And then we have two choices of masters. And I think it's universal. I think you can go to whatever country, and the people are either worshiping money, or they've come to know the Lord Jesus. And so it says, no one can serve two masters. We can't be divergent. We can't serve two masters. Either we'll hate one and be devoted to the other, or we'll despise one not the other. You can't serve God and money. Focus. Focus on what we do, on what we see, and who we serve. And that's our message today. When we come to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. This is what he tells us to do. Focus on him. Focus on deposits in heaven. Focus your life. Your life will be amazingly fun, rewarding. It will be, promised. Jesus said the abundant life is following him. It's possible that you're here today. You've heard this story over and over, but you never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't delay. Do not delay. Jesus could come at any time. He could. Will you be going? When Jochebed and Amram get to heaven, do you think that their children are going to be there? I think so. There'll be Miriam. Miriam was the leader of the music of the women from Israel. There will be Moses, her little boy that went down the river. And there will be Aaron, who is the high priest. Wow. But we can invest in other people. I'm sure that the person who shared the gospel with Billy Graham had no idea. Had no idea his investment. We don't know what God can do with a person who is totally given over to Jesus Christ. Let's invest securely for his glory. Lord, I just pray. Lord, I pray that today there's not one here that doesn't know you as his Lord and his Savior. Father, we know that you made that, in the eyes of human beings, you made such a terrible investment. You, the Son of God, stepped out of heaven, became a human being, was incarnate, and laid down your life for us. You're the eternal Son of God, who always was, and yet you came and stepped into our earth, onto our earth, so that we could step into your heaven, if we would only repent. Lord, we know that the greatest pandemic isn't COVID. The greatest pandemic is sin. It's 100% deadly, and it has infected 100% of the people on planet Earth. But when we put our faith and trust in you, you have promised that everyone who puts their faith and trust in you will be 100% forgiven of their sin. Lord, what a gift that is. And we pray this, Lord, help us to go forth without fear for your glory. In Jesus' name.